I want us to open our Bibles this evening in the book of the Psalms. And the Psalm number 51 is where we want to turn to tonight. I'd like to thank your minister, Dr. Brown, for the invitation to come. And it's certainly a joy and a privilege to be able to share with you in this gospel evening service. And I do pray that God will meet with us and God will truly bless us as we turn to the scriptures this evening. The 51st Psalm, I want us to read some verses from verse number 1. And let's follow the reading of God's precious truth. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. We end our reading there, and we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his infallible truth for his name's sake. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Eternal God and gracious Heavenly Father, I'm so conscious tonight that as we gather in this thy house, that this is a very special moment, the preaching of thy precious word. And I confess tonight my inability, but I thank you, O God, for the power that thou hast promised. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And O God, I pray that thou will help me to be a faithful preacher of the unsearchable riches of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that thou will bless the ministry of thy word to the salvation of precious souls. And for those that have wandered away from thee, O God, that thou wilt bring them back unto thyself. Help me to exalt none else but the Savior. For we pray for Jesus' sake and for his glory. Amen and amen. Indeed, it's hard to believe that for the past months, so many people have been consumed in their conversation and even in their isolation with this COVID-19. It is true that it is foolish to take such a virus lightly, just a little virus, they said, but it's foolish to take that lightly because many people have found out the reality in families, how that it has been a killer. And tens of thousands of people have fallen prey to that virus, and the effects of it are not over. But I want to talk about something else. It's a very little word. And it's another virus. It's a deeper one. And it has greater consequences. And yet the reality is that men and women do not take it seriously. It seems to be that they can just fool around with it. In actual fact, the Word of God tells us that fools make a mock, a sin. A little virus that I want to talk about tonight is something that plagues every one of us. It affects every human being upon this earth tonight. Of course, some would say, but that's nothing to do with me. And yet the Word of God makes it abundantly clear. If we say we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. In other words, we're lying. But we're lying to ourselves. What an awful tragedy. If somebody should fool himself about such a serious thing that has tremendous consequences, not only for time, but consequences for eternity. In a lost eternity, in a Christless hell, that's where their sin will take them. And yet the Word of God also says, there is no man that sinneth not. Not one of us. In the book of Romans chapter 3, it says, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And whilst the nations of the world have been forced to take the COVID-19 seriously, the truth is that they do not do the same when it comes to this reality of sin. But when we turn to the Psalm 51, we find a king takes it seriously. And of course, we will find out why he takes it seriously. You notice in this 51st Psalm, David has been confronted. He has been confronted with his sin. It's recorded for us in the book of 2 Samuel, in the chapter number 11. And how he sinned grievously, adultery with Bathsheba. And then the 12th chapter of the book of 2 Samuel, we find that he was confronted by his sin because God sent his servant Nathan, the prophet, to confront David with his sin. You know, the amazing thing is this, whenever Nathan spoke to David, you know, whenever he heard what Nathan had to say, he got very angry. The Bible says in chapter 12, verse 5, and David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And then Nathan said, David, O king, thou art the man. You see, friend, it's so easy to judge somebody else's sin. It's so easy to point the finger at somebody else's sin. And whenever David heard what Nathan had to say, he thought he was talking about somebody else, and he was angry over this person's sin. He said, this man will surely die. Nathan said, you're the man. I'm talking about you. And then whenever it comes to sin, it's not something that somebody else has sinned, because every one of us have got to confess. The Word of God says, there is not a man that sinneth not. That includes me and you. And if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Psalm 51, David is recalling the tragic moment of sin in his life. But you'll notice when he writes a psalm shortly after that tragic experience in his life, we find that before he actually talks about his sin, you know what he does? He throws himself upon the mercy of God. Look at verse number 1. He said, have mercy upon me, O God. Have mercy. That's before he ever identified and talked about the reality of sin. He was speaking. He threw himself. He appealed to the mercy of God. And we find, indeed, if you read the book of the Psalms over and over again, David appeals to God for mercy. Mercy. Notice he didn't speak about merit. He spoke of mercy. And he throws himself upon the mercy of God. Spurgeon said, the sight of mercy is good for eyes that are sore with penitential weeping. Pardon of sin must ever be an act of pure mercy. And therefore to that attribute, the awakened sinner flees. He cries to God for mercy. Do you remember the old publican, the Pharisee and the publican went up to the temple to pray? And the old Pharisee stood there in his religious garments and in his self-righteousness, and he said, God, I thank you I'm not as other men are. I'm certainly not like that old publican over there. The old publican, he didn't stand in a place for everybody to notice him. In actual fact, he stood afar off and he just bowed his head, feeling the load and the guilt of his sin. And he cried out this. He said, ask God for mercy. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. You know what Jesus said? He said he was the one that went down to his house justified rather than the self-righteous Pharisee. Friend, whenever it comes to talk about sin tonight, maybe you think of somebody else's. It's easy to point the finger, isn't it? But don't forget, there's three fingers. Usually when you're pointing that one, there's three pointing back to you. And whenever David is talking and speaking and throwing himself upon the mercy of God, friend, because he realizes he needs mercy, because he has no merit. And neither have you or I. Of course, remember another man who cried for mercy. The Lord Jesus spoke about him in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, down in hell. And he cried, "Father Abraham, have mercy upon me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." But there was no mercy. Son, you remember, in your lifetime. And friend, let me tell you, when you stand before God, friend, know what God will recall? Your lifetime. The life you lived, not somebody else. It's just you and God. And you'll not answer for somebody else's sin. You answer for your own sin. And he cried for mercy in hell. But the answer was nay. Because the day of mercy was over. And then I say to you tonight, as we look at this passage of God's word, I beg you in God's name, don't fill around with sin. And don't play loose with God. Because there'll come a day when mercy will pass and the wrath of God will come. And the day of God's wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? And the answer is none. No sinner will be able to withstand the wrath of God Almighty. He said, Lord, notice as he cries for mercy, look at verse 1, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, he says, blot out my transgression. God, according to your loving, your love, and your kindness. Thank God that was shown at Calvary. Because there on Calvary's cross, God so loved the world that God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Praise God. That loving kindness was shown, displayed at Calvary. So David cries out, O God, have mercy. Why did he need it? Let's look at verse 2. Here we see the description of sin, friend. Well, in the verse, end of verse 1, he says, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. My transgressions. Let me say this tonight. There is nothing honorable about sin. Sin is rebellion against God, breaking away from and setting oneself against the lawful authority of God. It is our willful disobedience. It is premeditated evil. There's nothing nice about sin, friend. And yet it has stained every one of our hearts. It's going and doing what God forbids. You're transgressing God's law. Now remember what God said. God said in the commands, thou shalt not commit adultery. And David transgressed it. He broke the law which God had given. But I want you to notice in his confession here, he says, blot out my transgressions, because he's owning this transgression as his. And friend, let me tell you this, he cannot deny it was his sin, and neither can you or I. It's my sin. And he's asking God, he says, oh God, blot out according to thy tender mercies, thy loving kindness, blot out, Lord, oh God, blot it out my transgressions. The word there is to stroke, to raise, to wipe out the record, to put your pen through the record. Erase my sin. You ask me tonight, but can that happen? Was he asking something that God would do and that God could do? Let me show you the answer to that. Turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. In Isaiah chapter 43, in the verse 25, it says this. God speaking here. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. And then turn to chapter 44 of Isaiah. And we find there in the verse number 22, it says, I have blotted out. You see, in chapter 40, he says, listen, I am he that blotteth it out. In other words, I'm the one that can do it. But in chapter 44, he says, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions. And what David is asking God to do, he says, oh God, I want you to blot out. Oh God, I want you to remove the record. Because the record of his sin stood against him. For God sent Nathan the prophet to tell him about his sin. For God saw it, and God recorded it. And he says, oh God, blot it out. Oh God, blot out my transgressions. The description of sin. Transgress. Break the law of God. And everyone's guilty. There's not a man or woman in this meeting tonight, including the two in the pulpit, and say, we didn't do it. We can't deny my sin. And then notice not only the description of sin, notice the dirtiness of a sin. Because look at verse 2. He says, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. First of all, he says, wash me from mine iniquity. You see, sin's a defilement. The word iniquity there is twisted, warped from the straight line of right, perversion. And what David is conscious here, he's conscious of the guilt of his wrongdoing, of his depravity. And I asked you tonight before God, as you listened to me preach tonight, are we conscious of what sin is? Iniquity? Yeah, but you know, that's not me. I haven't got iniquity like that. Well, let's see what Isaiah the prophet said under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. Chapter 1, verse number 5, it says this. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying, stenching sores that have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Man's sin, friend, is putrid. It's dirty. It's defilement. It's filthy. There's nothing clean about sin. What does he cry out? Oh God, wash me thoroughly from it. Wash me. He compares himself to that foul garment needing washed. He says, wash me, make me clean. Make me clean. I remember leading an elderly gentleman in his 80s to Jesus Christ just about 12 months ago. I remember after I went to his home and talked to him, he told me he wanted to receive Jesus Christ as a Savior. And then he said this to me. After he received Jesus Christ, he looked at me and he smiled and he said this to me. He said, Mr. McRae, I feel clean. I feel clean. Do you tonight? Do you feel clean? The waters of baptism will never cleanse you. Your religiosity or your self-religion and self-righteousness will never take away the stain of sin. Yes, he cries to God, and you must cry to God, oh God, wash me. Wash me thoroughly. In actual fact, that word means he felt he needed repeated washings to remove the stain. And our brother quoted a verse from God's word earlier on tonight. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us. And that word means keeps on cleansing from all sin. And then he cries to God. He said, not only wash me. He says, God, cleanse me. Look at it. Verse 2. Cleanse me from my sin. That word, notice the three words, transgression, iniquity, sin. That word is missing the mark. You see, the Word of God says, all have sinned and come short. You've missed the mark. And friend, with all your doings, with all the efforts of self, you will never be able to come to the standard of God. God says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And friend, of yourself, you'll never be able to do it. That's what Christ Jesus Christ had to do for us. Thank God he fully satisfied all the demands of a broken law for me. As my substitute, in my place condemned he stood. He sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. What a Savior. And I'm telling you tonight, whether you're listening in on the web or whether you're in this service tonight, I tell you, you will never be able to remove the stain of your sin. You haven't the power, but praise God, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from, listen, all sin. Not some. And I don't care how far down in sin you are. I don't care, my friend, if you're right down in the very depths. Maybe men and women will walk past and they want nothing to do with it because of the filthiness of your sinful past. But I want to tell you tonight, the blood of Christ, hallelujah, can cleanse you from it. You can be clean. Cleansed with the blood. The precious blood of the Lamb. He said, cleanse me. That means, oh God, make me pure. Make me pure. Make me clean without stain. Here's another question. Can that happen? Is that possible? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul is writing to those here in the church at Corinth. And that's what he says, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the verse number 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. You say, preacher, there's no hope. Read the next verse. And such were some of you. But you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. If we confess our sin, thank God he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But very quickly, look at the declaration of a sin. Verse 3. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin as ever before me. David openly takes responsibility for his sin. We live in a country where everybody knows their rights, but they don't know it. They know very little about responsibility. We can point the finger and blame everybody else for everything that's wrong. And even in our lives, if it's not the way we'd love it out, well, there's somebody else to blame. Let me tell you, friend, before God, it's about time you started to take responsibility for your own heart and your own life. And David said, I acknowledge my transgression, my sin as ever before me. David's not giving the reason why God should forgive him, but he's giving the reason why he's begging for forgiveness. Because of his sin. He's acutely aware of the burden of his sin. Oh God. Oh God, I know my sin, because my sin is ever before me. Some suggest every time he looked at Bathsheba, he remembered his sin. He says, my sin's ever before me. But friend, let me say this to you tonight. You and I need to be confronted by the awful plague of our sin, because David had no rest, he had no peace within his soul, confronted with the seriousness of his sin. Why? Because he acknowledges, verse 4, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. And here, I believe before God, You see, remembering our sin alone will never save us. There's many a man and woman that say to me, "Preacher, there is no hope for me because I'm so sinful, I'm so vile, I'm so dark, I'm so deep down in the pit of my sin. There is no hope for me, preacher." That's what the devil tells you. But you have to face the reality of the vileness of your sin and realize in yourself there is no hope, and that there is only hope in Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Do you realize tonight, listen, when you think of sin, notice what David said. He says, "I have done this evil in thy sight." And you see, when you were sinning, and I was sinning, we never thought it was in God's sight. God was watching. And the darkness could not hide from him. And every sinful act in your life, friend, dear unsaved person, not only did God see it, but in the record of God, God recorded it for the day you stand before him. And remember, the last reckoning is not before an earthly judge, but before God. That's why Amos the prophet cried out, "Prepare to meet thy God, for meet God you will." And you know, when David threw himself upon the mercy of God, notice what he said in verse number 4. He says, "I've done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest." David could not present any argument in himself against divine justice. He says, "God, if you were to judge me now, I would deserve it." How many men and women have said, "It's not fair. It's not fair that I'm in this situation." When you stand before God, you'll never say, "It's not fair, God." "Thou shalt be clear when thou judgest." Oh God, I am a sinner, and any punishment for my sin is justified. But we don't have to die in our sin, because we can come as David did. And very quickly, here's the desire over sin. Verse 7. He said, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean." In the intervening verses, he said, "You know, I was born in sin. I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. God, you desire truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part thou makest me to know wisdom." God, I've got to be honest. And friend, let me tell you, before you're going to be saved, you've got to be honest and face up to the reality. It's my sin. My sin. And when you realize it, you're the sinner. Thank God, there's great news. Christ Jesus, the Savior. A mighty Savior. And thank God, I'm able to stand on the 12th day of July, 2020. And things seem to be upside down, friend, but I want to tell you, glory to God, you can be right side up if you turn from your sin and turn to the only one that can forgive you. Thank God there is forgiveness. Thank God there is pardon. We sang tonight the opening hymn, "Love lifted me." Hallelujah. There I was in the depths of despair and hopelessness and lostness. But thank God, Jesus in love stooped down into the pit of my sin, and he lifted me out of it. And he cleansed me from my sin. Purge me with hyssop. Purify me, Lord, from all sin's uncleanness. Alluding to the Old Testament practice of purification of anyone that touched a dead body or the cleansing of the leper. And hyssop was used like a brush in various purifying ceremonies. He says, oh God, purge me with hyssop. And then he says, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as well. Oh God, make me clean. Is that your desire as we finish the service tonight? Because if it is, let me tell you, here's the last thought. Verse 8, make me to hear joy and gladness. There's the delight after sin. For thank God, he can give you joy. The joy of sins, what? Forgiven. Forgiven. Never to be remembered against you anymore. Oh God, blot it out. And God says, I will. I will! The only thing that stops that happening tonight is your rebellion, your sin. You'll not let go and let God take over. Will you come to him? You say, how do I come? You come as you are. But I need to clean up my life. No, friend, listen, that's why you're coming. You can't do it. But praise God, Jesus can. How will you refuse him now? I beg you, don't turn away from the Lord. Whosoever shall call, that's a child's cry, acknowledging your need, your lostness, your hopelessness, your hellishness, the rottenness of your sin. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, Savior, shall be saved. Hallelujah. And that for all eternity. He's mighty to save.